राजोवाच येन येनावतारेण भगवान् हरिर् ईश्वरः करोति कारणसं रम्यानि मनोज्ञानि च न प्रभो King Parikshit said, My Lord Shukadeva Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him, and friendship with devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. As stated in Prema Divarta, Krishna Bahir Mukahaiva Bhogaban Shakari Hikatasta Mayatari Japatiyadhari. Our material existence is Maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment and therefore change to different varieties of bodies. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya asan api kleshira asadeha. As long as we have these temporary bodies, they give us many varieties of tribulation, ariatmak, aribhotik, and aridaivak. This is the root cause of all suffering. But this root cause of suffering can be removed by revival of our Krishna consciousness. All the Vedic literatures presented by Vyasadeva and other great sages are therefore intended to revive our Krishna consciousness, which begins to revive with Shravanam Kirtanam. Srimvatam Sukatha Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtanam. Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures exist simply to give us a chance to hear about Krishna. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful and which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally, such avatars as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. First of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. But Parikshit Maharaj specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amazed Mother Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Braja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putana, Trinavarta, and Shakatasura, and showed the entire universe within his mouth. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yashoda and all the inhabitants of Braja in great astonishment. The process to revive one's Krishna consciousness is Adoshadhatatha sadhu sangotha vachanakriya bhakti rasamrita sindhu. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees. if one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. If one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj recommends that one hear about Krishna's childhood activities, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha. Wanting to hear more and more from Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. Translation. The great King Parikshit has been sitting on the bank of the river Ganga without eating or sleeping for many days. He has left all the worldly pleasures behind to fulfill the true aim of life, by absorbing his mind and hearing the subject matter of Krishna. As this sloka is being spoken by Maharaj Parikshit, he has already been sitting there fasting without sleep through the first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto, seventh canto, eighth canto, and ninth canto. Shukadeva Goswami is well on his way through the tenth canto, and still Maharaj Parikshit is so eager to hear. He's not thinking, when will you end so I can eat prasad? This is how some people think. How many are thinking like this? Or, he's only started 5 minutes ago, already I'm feeling sleepy. Parikshit Maharaj was speaking for days. And the more he spoke, the more Parikshit Maharaj was eager to hear. He explained the sound vibration of the transcendental glories of Krishna. It is like nectar, amrit, karanamrita. It is nectar to the ears. The more we hear, the more we want to hear. The more awakened we become spiritually as the pastimes of the Lord enter into our heart. And it is explained here how this process of hearing about Krishna is the medicine that cures all the diseases within the heart. The root cause of all disease is ignorance. What is that ignorance? The misidentification of one's true self. We have forgotten the nature of our own soul. And therefore, we are thinking in terms of trying to find enjoyment through this temporary material body. And in order to get pleasure through this body, you have to learn the process through shravanam, through hearing. It's the basis of material existence. According to the Shastras, Brahma actually created everything through sound vibration. And similarly, everything is ultimately destroyed by sound vibration. Sound vibration is so strong. It can transform people's minds. How do politicians take over countries? By sound vibration. First you convince people by what you speak. And then if they're convinced by what they hear, they're willing to uprise. There have been so many great revolutions. There was the Russian Revolution, there was the French Revolution, there was the American Revolution. When the British were conquered, they didn't conquer, they did conquer. They came to America and just started killing all the poor Native American Indians. Do you know why they're named Indians? Because when Columbus and others were coming to India, they accidentally came to America. It was a big mistake, actually. And they saw these people. They thought they were Indians, so they called them Indians. So they've been called Indians ever since, even though they're Americans. There you go. So, in this way, they just, oh, this is your land. You've been here for thousands of years, but now it is our land because we have bigger guns, we have bigger swords than you. So they conquered. But then the people from England who came, they didn't like their own government. So they started talking, all kinds of prajalpa. But these people are not good, they are taking too many taxes. And what these taxes that they're taking are just buying all kinds of crowns and ornaments for the King of England. What are they doing for us? We're out here in the middle of the forest of America. We should form our own government, forget this king. And they convinced all the people. Uprising. The whole revolution started through talking. Sound vibration. Hearing. French Revolution, Russian Revolution, all the revolutions. Just recently the parties in India changed. How did they change? People are talking and we believe them. Everywhere in the world, some believe. Because we're hearing. In this way, hearing can transform a person's life. When we grow up, we are trained by our parents because they tell us, do this, do not do this, do this, do not do this. A child doesn't know what to do, but just by hearing, all of a sudden he starts, after Shravanam, he's Kirtanam. The mother looks at the father and says, Papa, Papa, and the father goes, Mama, Mama, and the son goes, Papa, Mama, Papa, Mama. And everybody's Sravanam Kirtanam. They hear and they chant. And then the children start going, pointing, and the mother goes, Rohini Priya. And the child goes, Rohini Priya, Rohini Priya. Wow, wow. Ceiling, ceiling, floor, floor, me, me. We hear and we chant. And then as we become a little more developed, we're sent to school. They say, 1 + 1 = 2. And the child, oh, 1 + 1 = 2, Shravanam Kirtanam. So everything you hear, you learn. So hearing is the basis of our whole conception. It is by hearing that you think that you're of a particular family, you're of a particular race, a particular religion, a particular nation, a particular species of life. So our whole conception of reality is based on what we hear. If we're reading the newspapers and all the magazines and watching the television and listening to the radio and hearing from the cinema houses, then our whole conception of reality will be based on what we hear. And this basis of reality, is it truth or is it illusion? That is what we must discriminate. Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about the soul's relationship with God and the wonderful eternal pastimes of the Lord. by regularly hearing this transcendental sound vibration. It has the power to cleanse all the misconceptions of all the mundane Shravanam and Kirtanam that we've been doing for all the millions of births in the past. There are so many anartas, unwanted things within our heart. How to move them? It is not possible by our own efforts, only by the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna has descended within sound vibration. Golokaira Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord has come to descend to purify our hearts. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes how after Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago approximately, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sound vibration is none different than Krishna. By worshipping the sound vibration through attentive hearing, Krishna is entering into our ears, into our hearts, to kill all the demons within our hearts. Maharaj Parikshit is herein giving us very wonderful information. His own realization. He's just sat for the past so many days hearing the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam describing all the great principal avatars. And he was fully awake, attentive, and absorbed in listening to this transcendental sound vibration. But herein he explains that Krishna's childhood pastimes are so easy and pleasing to hear. So please tell me more, O Shukadev Goswami, my Lord. Please tell me more. We should orient our whole life in such a way that facilitates hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We should not do the opposite. Orient our hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord based on our other pursuits in life. We have responsibilities. There are primary responsibilities and there are secondary responsibilities. You are not a responsible person if you neglect either the primary or secondary responsibilities. However, we should perform all of our responsibilities with the proper understanding of importance. What are our secondary responsibilities in life? We have to take care of our health. We have to take care of our family's health. We have to make ends meet economically within this world. We have to perform our duties. We have to go to the bathroom. We have to eat. We have to sleep. Hare Krishna. These are all secondary responsibilities that we cannot avoid. Arjuna just wanted to go off and be a yogi. His secondary responsibilities was he was a military man. But Krishna said, you cannot avoid this. It is your duty. You must perform it. You have your family, you have your occupation, do it. But understand your primary duty and orient your secondary duty according to that. What is the primary duty of life? Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Brahma Sanhita, or Vedanta Sutra says, the first duty, now that you have come to the human form of life, is to realize your identity in relationship to the Absolute Truth. And how is this done? Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The first duty of every human being is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord through this process to purify the heart. To be an instrument of the mercy of God's compassion in this world, in everything we do. Yat karoshi yad ashnashi yad juhoshi tatasi yad Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all charity austerities that you perform, do it as an offering for me. All occupational duties have their fulfillment when they please Krishna. If we do not please Krishna, the whole world may worship us as great people, but we have failed. And ultimately, through time, Krishna will withdraw everything that we have achieved in our life. And when we're dead, the worms or the flames that eat you do not discriminate whether you're a millionaire or whether you're a pauper in the street. Whether you are a beautiful, famous musician singing for hundreds and thousands of people at Andheri Stadium, or whether or whether you're a frog. No discrimination. You're the same. You're just something to eat. Whether you're the king or whether you're just a sweeper of the street. Krishna makes everyone equal at the time of death on a physical platform. But where your soul goes, that is determined by what you have done with your life. And that is of primary importance. Because factually, death can come at any moment. Padam, padam, yad, vipadam, nate sham. We have seen. It happens all around us. So when that moment comes, we do not know. But where will our soul go at the time when this body is no longer suitable for our inhabitants? That concern is of primary importance. The direction of our life. And here Maharaj Parikshit, he's showing by his example. This is Acharya, not just speaking, but showing. He was a great soul. When he only had 7 days to live, he considered it a blessing of God. If someone were to curse you to die in 7 days, would you consider that a blessing of God? He considered a blessing because, now let me hear for 7 days. Let me just hear about Krishna. Hare Krishna. And he was so blissful in this state of hearing the glories of the Lord. And he's especially very interested, because in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has just killed Rakshasi Putana. You all know this Putana. She was a Kechari witch. In the true sense of the word, she was a terrible, terrible demoness, coming from a whole family line of asuras, the asura caste. Her brother was Bakasura, and her youngest brother was Agasura. He was the child of the family. Putana was 12 miles long. Her little brother was only 8 miles long. These are very big demons. So she came to kill Krishna. She disguised herself as a beautiful, beautiful woman, so beautiful that Rohini and Yashoda thought, Lakshmi herself has come to bless our child. She put deadly poison upon her breast. That little baby Krishna, who was just born. He was just born days before. How many of you mothers have had children? All mothers had children, I guess. It's not a very intelligent question I'm asking. I'm an conditioned soul. What? So,
Hare Krishna.
You have seen children when they come out. It's very difficult to identify what species they are when they first come out. Of course, the mother thinks they're so beautiful, and the father thinks, oh, I've never seen such a beautiful child. And everyone's saying, such a beautiful child. Such a beautiful, beautiful child. The child's so beautiful. Swamiji, do you want to see this beautiful child? And then I see it, and I'm like... I'm thinking Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vinod. Unless your eyes are anointed with the salve of love, I guess these little infant babies don't reveal their beauty to you. But Krishna was actually a beautiful child. He wasn't like this, but he was little tiny. He was beautiful. But he was so little infant. After Krishna was born, he appeared. Mathura, Vasudev brought him to Vrindavan. And then he was, after the birth-giving ceremony, or after the Nandotsav, the wonderful ceremony, then Nanda Maharaj felt, I must pay taxes to Kamsa in Mathura. So he left with many of the other gopas. While he was there, he met with Vasudev. Vasudev actually heard Nanda Maharaj was in Mathura, so he came to see him. His special reason is he wanted to know how his child Krishna was, without revealing that it was his child. And he said to Nanda Maharaj, you better get back very soon, because there may be great dangers coming for your child. So while he was away, Krishna was little baby. Everyone thought he's just a baby. And Putana came. And she put deadly poison, and he just took, and he started sucking that milk and sucked out that poison and kept sucking, and he was squeezing Hare Krishna. And Putana was in his little tiny hands were squeezing. And she was in terrible pain, and he was squeezing and sucking and squeezing and sucking, and Putana was saying, get off me, child, get out, leave me, leave me. And Krishna just... And ultimately, she was in so much pain, she ran out of the house, she ran into the pasture grounds. And then she assumed her original form 12 miles in size. She was still saying, child, leave me! Can you imagine what a little baby is compared to a person 12 miles long? She still could not get him away until he sucked out her very life. She fell, crashing to the ground, breaking all the trees in the forest around. Very wonderful. And Nanda Maharaj came back, Yashoda, and the gopis, they took Krishna and started trying to worship the Lord for saving him. And Nanda Maharaj came back, and when he saw this big, big Rakshashi laying in his pasture fields, he was wondering, what is this? So then they burned they chopped up the body. These little cowherd men were just chopping up the body and putting it in fire. And the fire was, the body was burning just like incense. There was a sweet nectarine smell coming from the smoke, because her body had been touched by Krishna. Although she was terribly steeped in the mode of the darkest, cruelest ignorance, just by being touched by Krishna, her body became sweet and fragrant. And her soul went back to Vaikuntha to become the mother of Krishna eternally. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Whatever Lord, what Lord can be so merciful as Krishna? This was the prayer of Uddhava. So then, after hearing this wonderful, wonderful narration, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, please tell me more. What did Krishna do next? Sukadeva Goswami, he's very excited because there's nothing more pleasurable to a speaker of the Bhagavatam than having someone who's eager to hear. And I won't say what we feel like when people are falling asleep. When somebody's eager to hear, you become eager to speak. Because it's a very personal process. Bhakti is personal. The whole process of bhakti is reciprocation between people. Just as Putanas, cruel, envious, ignorant body and soul were completely purified by the touch of Krishna. Similarly, whoever we are, however ignorant, cruel, envious, greedy, lusty, and proud we may be, if we just keep contact with Krishna in our life, and then we're able to maintain that contact with Krishna, even at death, we go back home, back to Godhead. Om apavitra pavitro vasarvavastam gato piva yasmarit pundarikaksham sabayabhyantarasuchi. Krishna is all pure. Whatever he touches becomes purified. Therefore, we always want to keep that connection to Krishna, just as Putana did. Well, we want to do it in a different way, but we want to keep that connection. She was trying to get Krishna away. Our false ego is also trying to get Krishna away. I want to do this, but I can't because Krishna is watching in my heart. But he won't see me. Hare Krishna, I'll get away with it. Our mind will justify so many things. But actually, a devotee, we want to always purify our soul and our body, our mind, everything by hearing the glories of Krishna and chanting his holy name. Krishna, who was Nanda Gopal, the child of Sri Nanda Maharaj, was doing his little baby pastimes, Bal Leela. When he was 3 months old, he started to try to get up and crawl. Wonderful, wonderful scene. Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, Gopas, Gopis, they were just so much eager. Anything Krishna did. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says, all mothers should be like this with their children. That whatever the child does should give pleasure to the parents. The parents are in a mood of serving, trying to help the child in every way. So here little Krishna, he was trying to somehow or other lean his body, slant it upwards slightly. He was laying down, always laying, and he was trying to slant it upwards slightly. And this brought such bliss to the heart of Yashoda Mai. Krishna slanting his body. And at that time, when a child does that, there's a samskara that's performed, a ceremony. It's called the Uttana ceremony. And that's when the child first starts to try to get up, then the child, there's the ceremony, and Mother Yashoda, she invited Brahmins to come and sing mantras and perform yajnas. And then there was a festival of dancing and singing. And then Yashoda Mai wanted to award all of these Brahmins by giving them charity and giving them cows and everything else. But while she was doing like this, she saw that Krishna was starting to fall asleep. Haribo. So she was carrying little Krishna around. So she's thinking, my little Gopal needs to rest. So Yashoda Mai laid in a bed with Krishna with her. And she laid with him because by laying with him, he would naturally fall asleep very comfortably. But then she had to go and do her service of giving in charity and greeting the guests who came for this uthana ceremony. So she put Krishna in a little cradle under a cart, big cart. And Krishna was sleeping under the cart. Very nice. However, an asura, rakshasa, demon, entered into the cart. Srila Prabhupada explains how this is possible. Just as there are ghosts, ghosts are very evil spirits that have that have subtle bodies, but because of terrible sins of the past or very abusive lifestyles, they are not allowed to have a gross body. But they have all kinds of gross desires. So they're always trying to enter into some other gross body to fulfill their purposes. Just like if somebody's very frustrated, they just want to do violence to others. So if somebody else is weak, ghosts can enter their body and just cause them to become insane and cause violence to others. If a ghost is very, very much stricken by kama or lust, can enter into the body to do all kinds of mad, crazy sexual offenses. So this particular ghost was very violent. He was a friend of Kamsa, and his idea was to kill Krishna. So he entered into the body of this cart.
Hare Krishna.
Please listen carefully. This terrible, powerful rakshasa demon was within this cart. What was his purpose? To fall down and crush Krishna to death, then to eat him and drink his blood.
Hare Krishna.
So little baby Krishna, who was only 3 months old, he was laying, and then he woke up and he desired to drink milk from Yashoda, but Yashoda was not there. So with his little foot, which was as soft as a freshly formed leaf from a plant, that little foot kicked. And when it kicked, it touched the wheel of the cart. When it touched the wheel of the cart, the wheel, it just broke, came off of its axle. All the spokes were broken, the axle was broken, the whole cart came falling down, the pole in the middle of the cart was broken, everything just fell to pieces. And all the utensils on the cart started tumbling down. And the demon Sakatasura was dead. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! How is it, Krishna? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this is Krishna's supreme position of all avatars. When Vamanadev wanted to take the whole universe from Bali Maharaj, what did he do? He had to extend himself. He had to exert himself. He grew bigger, 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 until he became Trivikram, Upendra,
With one step, he covered half the universe. With the next step, he covered the other half of the universe to the outer limits of the universe. And when Hiranyakashipu was harassing Prahlad, the Supreme Lord extended himself to become Narasimhadev. But Krishna, when he wants to kill a demon, he doesn't have to do that. He wants to show he's supreme. When Hiranyaksha was harassing Varuna and so many others, the Lord extended himself to become Varaha Rupa, to kill Hiranyaksha. But here was this terrible demon right there to kill Krishna. But he didn't expand into any form. He didn't extend himself with any weapon. He was just a 3-month-old little baby, and with the tender little tiny lotus foot, softer than a leaf, he just touched that demon's body and he finished dead. That is Krishna. After this, in the middle of this Uttana ceremony, all of a sudden they hear all this sound of pots and pans and utensils falling to the ground. It was actually tumultuous. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mayi, Gopas, Gopis, they all came running. What happened? And Krishna was under the cart. Everything fell all over, but nothing even touched him. He wasn't the slightest bit injured. How is this possible? So they began to think, it must be maybe there was a demon in this cart. How did it fall? Or maybe it's a ghost. Or maybe it's an accident. We do not know. But somehow or other, because our child is pious, he's been protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna always protects those who are pious. But they thought Krishna was Narayan. They didn't know that Narayan was Krishna. Something like that. So they began to call more Brahmins to do more yajnas and chant more mantras. And Nanda Maharaj thinking, what happened to my child? We have to protect. And little tiny children were around. And they say, we know what happened. We saw it with our own little eyes. Your little baby, 3-month Krishna, he kicked that cart with his foot and it all fell down. And the elderly gopas and gopis were thinking, impossible. How can our little child's foot knock over this big, terrible cart? They would not believe. Why they would not believe? Because their parental affection was not willing to accept that their little helpless child could be the almighty personality of Godhead. This is yoga maya. Krishna was protecting the intimacy of the ecstasy of their love. So Nanda Maharaj started asking the Brahmins to please give blessings to his child. Because he understood that the Supreme Lord's mercy comes when great souls give blessings. There is no way to get the mercy of the Lord without the blessing of great souls. This is an eternal truth. So Nanda Maharaj, being a very simple and humble person, although he was actually the most exalted, but the more exalted you become, the more simple and humble your consciousness is. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, according to the highest principles of truth, that without the blessings of great Brahmins and great sadhus, there is no chance for auspiciousness in my life or my child's life. So please give these blessings. Srila Prabhupada explains here that according to the Shastras, Brahman is not by birth. Brahman is by qualification. And Srila Prabhupada says, We should respect people who have Brahman by birth. But unless they have qualifications, they cannot give blessings. And we cannot receive blessings for them. As a formality, we should respect a born Brahman. But the real purpose of a Brahman's life is to give the blessing of Krishna consciousness to others. And it is explained by Kapiladev, the Lord himself. Kapiladev was born of Kardama Muni, the best of Brahmins. Born of beginning of creation. Aho bata svapa chotogariyam. That anyone, even if born in an outcast family of dog eaters, if they are chanting the holy names of the Lord sincerely, they are considered by the Lord to be the best of Brahmins. They could perform any type of sacrifice, any type of yajna. They can even be guru for the whole universe. But a Brahmin born of the caste of Brahmins who is not a devotee sincerely chanting the holy names cannot even deliver him. So therefore, we should always be seeking blessings at every stage of our life from those who have sincerely taken shelter of the process of the chanting of Krishna's holy name. The Vrijavasis were not aware that Krishna is unlimited. They couldn't believe what these children are saying. They thought that some bad planet attacked Krishna. And Mother Yashoda picked up Krishna, who actually at that time was crying. He was untouched by anything, but he was crying. Why? He wasn't crying because he was afraid of all the carts breaking and the utensils falling. He was crying because he wanted Yashoda's milk. That's all. He wanted her. Krishna cries for the love of his devotee. This is his supreme glory. So after this wonderful experience, Krishna was growing up in the land of Braja, Gokul, Mahavan. And one day, 1 year after Krishna's appearance, Yashoda Mai was playing with her son on her lap. Do you know how she was playing? Same thing that I see so many mothers doing. She would take Krishna and pick him up. Pick him up means kind of throw him a little and then catch him with her hands. Throw him and catch him. And he would start to laugh. And then she would start to laugh. And then everyone around started to laugh. Because giving Krishna happiness is the cause of all happiness. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. If Krishna's happy, everyone's happy. If Krishna laughs, everyone laughs. If Krishna's not pleased, everyone is displeased. Hare Krishna. We have seen with Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would be telling a joke, a Bengali joke. None of us could understand it at all. Didn't make any sense. We couldn't understand how this is funny. But Srila Prabhupada would be laughing as he'd be telling it. And because he'd laugh, everyone would spontaneously start laughing out of joy. The only reason we knew we were laughing is because when Prabhupada laughs, we laugh. Why he's laughing, we'll never understand. Maybe when we become pure devotees, we'll understand this joke. But it doesn't matter. When he was laughing, everyone laughed from their heart of hearts, laughing. And when he was upset, nobody laughed. Impossible. Because that is love. You are so much affected by the person you love. When you love your child, when your child's happy, you're happy. When your child's sad, you cannot find any happiness by any means in the entire universe until you make your child happy. That is love. But the most perfect love is the parental affection of Yashoda for Krishna in this sense. So Yashoda would pick up Krishna. And then he would fall on her lap, and she would laugh. He would laugh, she would laugh, everyone would laugh. And while she was doing this, Krishna was thinking,
a demon is coming, and I do not want my mother to be disturbed too much by this demon.
This little one-year-old child, he knows everything, past, present, and future.
He's within everyone's heart as the witness. He understood, Trinavarth Asura is coming, and he's going to try to take me away. And if I'm in Yashoda Mai's lap, then she'll be terribly inconvenienced when he takes me away from her. And I want him to take me away, because this will be my lila.
So what did Krishna do? While Yashoda was picking up and dropping him and picking him and catching him, he became as heavy as the universe.
Hare Krishna.
Yashoda Mai couldn't understand. She's my little child. How is it? She was not willing to accept the reality that the entire universe is within him. So she placed Krishna down in a nice little comfortable place, because that day they were having a nice ceremony, because it was a year after Krishna's appearance. There were so many guests that were coming, and Yashoda Mai was actually, at that time, she also wanted to perform her daily household activities, which were all for Krishna. So she placed Krishna down and began to perform her seva. Then this terrible demon came into Braja. He was a mystic yogi. He had tremendous powers. He assumed the form of a whirlwind. He was blowing so hard that he created complete darkness in all of Vrindavan. There was so many particles of dust flying in the air that no one could even see the closest thing to their eyes. He was making terrible sounds. You know what ferocious winds sound like? How fearful they are? It's really very... Not like that, I'm sorry. Winds are fearful. I do it and you all laugh. That's the difference. I am not a great mystic yogi. So... It was terrible winds and terrible sounds. It was so fearful. What was Yashoda Mai's first thought? Where is Krishna? She couldn't see anything anywhere. But she was just running here and there trying to find Krishna. Where is Krishna? She wasn't concerned with her own life. She wasn't concerned with her property. She wasn't concerned with anything but the safety of baby Krishna. She was going here and there and everywhere with her hands, trying to find, where is Krishna? But he was nowhere to be seen. Trinavarta, in the form of this whirlwind, picked up Krishna and started going higher into the sky. Krishna, so transcendentally wonderful. What he did is to perform this pastime. He displayed so many of his mystic powers as Yogeshwar. In order for Yashoda to put him down, he became heavier than the universe. Mahima Siddhi. But then when Trinavarta came to pick him up, he became lighter than a piece of grass.
He became so light. So Trinavarta could just effortlessly just pick him up and take him into the sky, higher and higher and higher. So Krishna was gone. Yashodamai came back to that place somehow or other in the pitch darkness of the dust storm, and Krishna was not there. And then the other gopis, they didn't care anything about anyone except Krishna. They were searching, 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 weeping, crying, lamenting, where is Krishna? Yashodamai, not able to find him, she fell down on the ground like a cow that had just lost her calf and wept in utter ocean of lamentation. She was crying bitterly. All the gopis were crying bitterly because they could not see Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught we should cultivate this type of separation. Actually, Krishna is within our heart. But because this whirlwind of Maya, like Trinavarta, it's created so much dust in our heart, we can't see Krishna. But are we like Yashodamai and gopis of Braja? We cannot live without seeing Krishna. Crying, weeping, lamenting, where is Krishna? This dust storm, it is not allowing us to see Krishna, the Lord, the pleasure of our life and soul. The dust of material nature and all of our desires, it's like a whirlwind in our mind. And Krishna's nowhere to be seen. And we are so hard-hearted that we just go on with our business. Maybe someday I'll see Krishna. But for now, let me go on trying to improve my existence within this dust storm. But when we come to the point, like Yashoda, where we are weeping and lamenting in separation from Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself to us. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of the six Goswamis, and this is the mood that they are teaching us to cultivate, not artificially, but genuinely. By hearing the glories of Krishna, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by associating with true, genuine devotees of Krishna, it awakens our desire for Krishna. And as that desire awakens, we start to feel separation from Krishna due to the dust in our heart. We're not able to see him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Chaito Darpana Marajanam Bhavahada Vagnina Vapanam Sreya Kairava Chandrikavataranam Vidyapadu Jivanam. That all this dust storm covering the mirror of our heart, it can all be removed by Krishna, who has descended through the process of chanting his holy name. While gopis were lamenting due to separation from Krishna, Trinavarta had Krishna. But because he was not a devotee, he could not feel any ecstasy. There was no ananda. There was only the desire to kill the child and eat him. Hare Krishna. And for such demoniac people, actually, this is a very good lesson. Please listen carefully. Are you ready? Krishna lets you appear that you're succeeding for some time before he smashes you down. For materialistic people who are trying to exploit Krishna by exploiting his energy, trying to become very, very great in various ways on the basis of greed,
Krishna becomes light like a piece of grass and lets you become richer and richer and richer and richer and more and more and more famous, more and more powerful, more and more influential, more and more learned, more and more popular. And you're thinking, I'm going higher and higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, you'll see what happens. Krishna becomes like a mountain and crash to the ground. We have seen humans, we have seen entire civilizations go through this process by the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna went higher and higher, light like grass. Srinivarta was a very egoistic person. Just the fact that he can control this little one-year-old child like this, he was infatuated by his false ego. But when they were very, very high in the sky, Krishna assumed the weight of the peak of a mountain. Hare Krishna. He was very heavy. Mahima Siddhi. Again, the weight. Mother Yashoda, she was very happy when Krishna was heavy. She just put him down. But Srinivarta, he wanted to put him down too. Krishna let Yashoda put him down. Srinivarta said, get off, get out of here. But Krishna was so heavy, he just put his arm around Srinivarta's neck. This big, big demon. And Srinivarta was struggling to get him off. And Krishna was so heavy that Srinivarta could not go any higher. He was struggling and straining. And Krishna started to squeeze his neck. Hare Krishna! He squeezed. Little one-year-old child on his big demon squeezing. When he would squeeze Yashoda, she would go, ha ha ha, very nice, very nice, he's squeezing. When he would squeeze his friends, they would go, oh, Krishna, you squeeze nice. But Srinivarta, he squeezed his neck. Srinivarta choked. He could not breathe anything in or out. He could not move his limbs. His eyeballs started popping out of the sockets of his head. He suffocated. Krishna strangled him with his little hand. Srinivarta was dead. And after dying, he fell to the ground. And actually, by the time he was way up in the air, the dust storm was gone. And then everyone was just looking for Krishna. He was nowhere. Everyone could see, but they couldn't find Krishna. They were crying and crying and crying. Where is Krishna? Searching. Where is Krishna? The six Goswamis also. At Radha Kund, at Govardhan, at Bamsivat, where is Krishna? They didn't know where he was. Then all of a sudden, right where they were searching for Krishna, all of a sudden this terrible, gigantic demon comes falling to the ground. It was a very startling situation. Then they looked on the demon, who had a huge, broad chest. It was like a park. And who do you think was playing in that park? Little baby Krishna. He still wasn't even walking. He was just crawling around. And he was having a good time because the chest of Srinivarta had so much space, he could play so many games. It was perfect, perfect facility for him to enjoy. So he was just playing very nicely. And the gopis, they saw Krishna and they ran up on the demon's body and took Krishna down and gave him to Yashoda Mai. And Yashoda Mai felt the greatest gratitude to the Supreme Lord for saving their child. And Nanda Maharaj came with the gopas, cowherd men, and they began to think that That this, it is astonishing that this innocent child was taken away by this Rakshasa to be eaten. But he has returned without even being killed or even injured.
We know the reason. How many of you know the reason? We know the reason Krishna killed him. That's because we're not so advanced.
But the Vrijavasis are more advanced. So they were not thinking Krishna is God. They were thinking he's our child. If he's God, how can we love him so intimately as if he's our child? They were thinking because this demon is so sinful and cruel and impious, it is the law of Lord Narayan that sinful people will be destroyed by their own reaction of sins. That's why he's killed. And thus, Nanda Maharaj and the others, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in great gratitude for saving little Krishna. One day Yashoda picked up little baby Krishna and put him on her lap, was feeding him the milk from her breast. Krishna was very happily drinking. Yashoda Mai was very happily giving her love to Krishna in the form of this milk. And then Krishna began to yawn. He opened his mouth like little babies do to yawn. And Mother Yashoda happened to see what was in his mouth. The entire universe. She saw the universe in his mouth. She saw the entire sky and all the planetary systems, the demigods, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, all living entities within the universe, within the tiny little child of Krishna who was yawning. Yashoda Mai was astonished. How is this possible? She closed her eyes because she did not like to see this. Why? Because it interrupted with her parental affection. So she closed her eyes and she was thinking that I'm seeing all these things in my child's mouth because perhaps he has some disease. And I should care for him. I should help him. Hari Bol. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. So Maharaj Parikshit is very eager to hear these wonderful, wonderful narrations of Krishna when he performed activities that even the greatest yogis cannot perform when he was just a little baby child. We spoke about Trinavarta. He was a great yogi. Today, if a yogi has even one fraction of Sri Trinavarta's mystic powers, they declare themselves to be God. A devotee wants all glory to go to Krishna. Rather than exhibit mystic powers, a devotee simply wants to speak about Krishna's supreme mystic powers and attract everyone's love and attention to Krishna and chant his holy name. This is the process by which we cleanse the mirror of our heart. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord from Vaishnavas who are truly dedicated to the service of the Lord. Sanatan Goswami explains hearing the glories of the Lord from persons who have impersonalistic conclusions or who do not accept that their eternal identity is the eternal servant of the Lord. It does not have the effect of purifying our heart. as milk touched by the lips of a serpent is not very healthy at all. So we should hear from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami or those who have the same spirit as Sukadeva Goswami in disciplic succession, where the final conclusion is that we are all personally servants of Krishna in the spiritual world, and that is the ultimate destination of our spiritual path. Not that we want to become God, not that we want to become powerful, not that we want to become great in this world. A Vaishnava simply wants to be a most humble, simple servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Some of us here are 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, and still you can't put the universe in your mouth. Krishna was hardly 1 year old, and he could show the whole universe in his mouth. Krishna's God. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada, I believe it was at Juhu Beach at Sriradharas Bihari Mandir. Was saying, my Guru Maharaj is God. No, he said, my Guru Maharaj is Krishna. Prabhupada, your Guru Maharaj is Krishna. Can he do what Krishna can do? Can he lift the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand? He may want to dance with gopis, but can he, but can he lift the Govardhan Hill with the left hand finger? Can he show the universe in his mouth? No one can do what Krishna has done. So Srila Prabhupada explains, everyone who claims to be God in India says, I am Krishna. So everyone accepts Krishna as God. So just worship Krishna, then it's for certain. These other Krishnas may not be Krishna, but Krishna is Krishna. So chant Krishna's holy names. And the seed of the aspiration to be the servant of the Lord comes by this process of hearing in the association of those sincere and humble devotees. False pride is the greatest enemy. It is the number one asura trying to keep us from Krishna. Can only be conquered by Krishna when we humble ourselves to be the servant of the servant of his servants. Therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has given us the crest jewel of all instructions. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirataniyasata. As long as we are really, sincerely trying to follow the principles of this verse, Krishna will always protect us. It is his promise. Even if some mistake comes, even if some difficulty, Krishna will lift us up and protect us if we are just simple and humble and sincere to follow his teachings as the servant of the servant of his servants. But if we want to be master, if we want to be controller, if we want to be the one that is worshipped, then yayatamam prapadyante tams dadaiva bhajam. Then yes, then you do it. Krishna withdraws his protection. And then we must come crashing down. Inevitable. So just remain simple, just remain sincere, keep that nice association in the spirit of a servant of the servant, hear the glories of Krishna, read Srila Prabhupada's books daily. Bhagavad Gita is the word of Krishna, non-different than Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of Krishna, non-different than Krishna. Hear these glories, it will transform your heart. It will illuminate your life. And after hearing and hearing, then speak what you have heard. And in a humble state of mind, constantly chant the wonderful glories of Krishna that can liberate our souls from illusion and can liberate the entire universe from the bondage of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.